God's good, isn't he? Who's glad they're in church today? Wouldn't you rather be here than anywhere else? God's presence, experiencing his amazing grace, his unfailing love, and that he took our place. Isn't that wonderful? He took our place. We're following our devotion to him series. If you're new to us, fairly new to us, we're going through a whole series. We started off with identity in Christ. We've gone into devotion with him, and we are going to be transitioning into pursuing his presence. But we've got a few more things that I really feel that we need to look at today. And today our sermon title is No Longer Slaves. Can you say the word no longer slaves? No longer slaves. Aren't you free? Aren't you glad you're free? Some of you are. I don't know, I've never witnessed slavery firsthand. Has anybody witnessed slavery firsthand themselves? Probably haven't. I've watched films about it. I remember Esther and I years ago went to Ireland, and we stopped with a family there. And they decided to take us out to the pictures, and we saw this film of slavery. And all the people were in slavery, and the boat sank, and they were all in chains, and they all were pulled to the bottom because of the chains. And it really affected me for quite a long time. Do you remember that film, Esther? And we've seen it on television, we've watched programs, but we've perhaps experienced very little about that kind of slavery. When we had Open Doors a few weeks ago, we had a picture of Leah. Do you remember Leah? The young girl, 14-year-old girl, who was taken. And because she refused to deny her faith, she now today is a sex slave at 14 years of age. And we can continue to pray for her. But she refused to deny her faith, and because of it, now finds herself a slave. I decided to look up some statistics of how many people are in slavery, we believe, in some kind of slavery in the country. And Walk Free Foundation said in 2016, 45.8 million people are trapped in some kind of slavery in 167 countries. Now, what surprised me was that India was the highest. I didn't expect it be for the most slaves to be in India, but per head, per capita, it's in North Korea. And of course, we probably knew that from looking at those statistics. But that is 30% higher than in 2014. There was a 30% increase where there was 35.8 million people. And of course, we know that there are many Christians that are in slavery because of their faith. Let's go back, and we're going to draw some parallels to this story as we look at scripture in a minute. Let's go back for a few hundred years ago in America. In America, people fought and died for independence. They wanted freedom. They wanted to gain their freedom and gain independence. And they pioneered places and gave their life in thousands to become free. And yet, in this whole twist of becoming free, they then made other people slaves. People that were free then caused other people to be slaves for them. On March the 4th in 1865, Abraham Lincoln, it was just a few weeks before his assassination. Did anybody watch the film Lincoln? Amazing film, wasn't it? Just a few weeks before he was assassinated, he said these words: "Both sides read from the Bible, and they pray to the same God, and each invokes his aid against the other." It was his second inaugural speech. It was his second term of presidency. And as he said those words, his voice broke. How strange it was that men should ask a just God to assist them in killing each other. The 13th Amendment had been adopted by the United States of America. And technically, at that point, slavery had been completely abolished. Black slaves on New Year's Day, 1863, were officially declared free. It was called the Emancipation Proclamation. Can you say that? The Emancipation Proclamation. But it wasn't until December the 18th in 1865, nearly 2 years later, that it became official. It took nearly 2 years for once the Emancipation Proclamation was made for slaves to be legally free. Abraham Lincoln had been assassinated by this time. He dreamt of this day. He hadn't seen it, but his dream was realised. And the newspapers on the front page story read, "Slavery legally abolished." Isn't that an amazing story? Yet it's not. It's not because even though something like this had happened, something happened that many people never expected. Something happened where the vast majority of slaves in the South who were legally free from their masters, they continued to live as slaves. Most of them actually carried on living as slaves as though nothing had ever happened. Most of them carried on living the way they've always lived until they died. Legally they were free, yet they lived virtually unchanged lives. This is what they were asked when they thought about Abraham Lincoln. Their great emancipator. This is what they replied. "I don't know nothing about Abraham Lincoln, except they say he sets us free, and I don't know nothing about that neither." Isn't that a sad statement? All this life has been laid down. The bloody wars, the thousands and thousands of lives that have been taken to set them free. They'd heard about this man, Abraham Lincoln, that he's come to set them free, but they don't really know that they've been set free. They don't know what it is to be set free. They don't have an experience or an understanding. And they continue to live in fear. They continue to live in squalor. And they choose to remain as slaves. They chose to keep their old master until they died. Isn't that awful? Isn't that shocking when people have died to give you freedom, yet you live by slaves? But you know, this is just what the plantation owners wanted. They wanted to keep them ignorant. They used terms like, "We'll keep them ignorant, they'll never know." Their heart was, "We won't tell them they're free, because if we tell them they're free, they can go away. But if we don't tell them we're free and they're ignorant, they'll just continue to do the same thing day in, day out, as they always have done." Today I want to draw a comparison to this story to Christians today. How can you compare this? Well, hopefully I'm going to try and do that through scriptures that we have today. I'm not talking about people that, like Leah, who are in slavery because they've chosen to stand for the gospel. I'm not talking about people like Leah. I'm not talking about people, Christians, that live in a country where, like North Korea, where slavery exists. So whether you're a Christian or not, although if you are a Christian, you would be put into slavery. I'm talking about people today, Christians, who are still living in bondage when the great emancipator, Jesus Christ, has set them free. That's what I want to talk about today. Christians that are living in fear and bondage to sin when the great emancipator, Jesus Christ, has set them free completely, 100%. Jesus paid the ultimate price to overthrow slavery once and for all. You see, sometimes Christians live and behave as though they are still in bondage. And I want to tell you, just like those plantation owners, Satan wants us to stay in bondage. Do you know that? Do you know Satan wants us to live in fear? Do you believe that? That's one of his tools. He wants us to keep us in shame and humiliation. He rubs his hands and he says, "You just keep living like a slave. You know, that's just what I want." I want you to imagine him today looking at Christians who are still in bondage, and he's rubbing his hands and laughing. "I've gotten where I want them. They're in bondage. They're in bondage to fear, in bondage to sin. But he knows, and Satan knows this, that actually Christians are free, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Do you know that? Yes? Satan hates our freedom. He wants to do everything he can to keep us pinned down with shame, with guilt, with ignorance, and with intimidation. And today I want to remind us of that today. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And Satan has no right over our lives today. Let's look at Romans 3, 23 to 24. We know this scripture very well, I'm sure. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing scripture? Let's read it together. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And the truth is, when we were all born into sin. That's true, isn't it? Even though we got a beautiful baby, born into this world, gift from God, we're born into sin. We're born into slavery. We're born into bondage. And on top of that, there is no way for us to escape from it. There is no possible way that born into sin we can escape. We're unable to change our enslavement to sin. And in that condition, we knew nothing about freedom. Does that make sense? Well, we might say, I've heard about this Jesus guy. Apparently he comes to save, but I know nothing about it. That makes sense? Satan's plan for people's lives is to keep them ignorant. But the front page news is that Jesus Christ, the great emancipator, has set us free. Isn't that good news? Look excited. Jesus Christ, the great emancipator, has set you free. And there is a great heavenly declaration, an emancipation declaration from heaven over earth and to the pits of hell that says sinners are officially set free, no longer slaves. Isn't that good news? You don't look excited. Isn't that good news? That is good news for us, friends. Romans 3:22, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. To qualify for freedom, we don't have to be born in a certain country. We don't have to speak a certain language. Our skin doesn't have to be a certain colour. We don't have to reach a certain level of education or fulfil a list of requirements. We don't have to be a certain gender or a certain age. Freedom is obtained by all through faith in Christ Jesus. And it says, to all who believe. And there is no distinction. To all who believe. We were all born in sin. We were all slaves to sin. Every one of us. And the amazing news is that all sinners can be saved. Romans 3, 23 to 24. Let's read it again. Let's read it again together. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Before we were saved, we were hopelessly lost. We were slaves. And sometimes people that are living in this world today don't know about freedom. They don't even know that actually they're a slave to Satan. But the truth is, they are. You see, before we knew Jesus, we were duty bound to Satan because he's our master. We were duty bound to sin. We were obliged to sin to please him. Does that make sense? We sin because he's our master and we want to please our master. And so we sin and we're duty bound to him and we're obliged to him to do that. But when God raised Jesus from the dead, it says this. Let's read it together. No one needs to stay a slave to sin anymore. No one needs to serve Satan as their master. No one needs to be duty bound to him anymore and continue to sin. I just want you to look at those words for a minute. I want you to go through those words on your own, in your head, just for a minute. Sadly, the truth is that some Christians behave as though they are still slaves to sin and also to fear. But there is great news. And this is the great news. Let's put the next scripture up. The law was brought in so that the trespasses might increase. But where sin increased, where sin increased, isn't that good news? Aren't you excited that grace increases? That grace triumphs over sin. God always gets his trump card out, you know. Gotta be careful with that word now, haven't you, Trump? I'm thinking of Donald Trump. You were thinking of something else then, weren't you? When we sin, we go, oh my goodness, and God goes, trump that with my grace. Oh, okay. Whatever the sin, whatever sin abounds, God gets his grace card and goes, covered by my grace. I think that's good news. If you're not excited about it, I'll be excited about it for you. Where sin abounds, grace superabounds. That's my paraphrase. The paraphrase according to Robin Baker. Where sin abounds, grace superabounds. My God is a God that superabounds. Grace empowers our ability to conquer sin. Once we truly grasp the freedom that grace brings, we can spend long periods of time without sinning and feeling ashamed. And today, Satan wants us to live in our old rags of shame and guilt. He wants us to keep wearing those dirty old rags. And he doesn't want us to put on our robes of righteousness, our clean clothes. I want to say to you today, when Jesus became Lord of your life, all rights that our previous master had, Satan, over our lives are broken. Does that make sense? Do you ever see some of the slavery films where the owners just whip the slave? They whip the slave completely. Satan has no right to whip us anymore. He has no right to put condemnation over our life. He has no rights. He'll do it, but he doesn't have the right to do it. Does that make sense? And we've got to understand that today, that he has no right over our life because now Jesus has set us free. You see, Satan is the grace killer. Esther and I were having a conversation about this week. She said, I don't know whether you agree with that, Robin, but I agree with it. And so she'll agree with it because she's a good wife. Satan is the grace killer, but Jesus is the grace giver. I think that's great, don't you? Do you like that? You can use that. Jesus is the grace giver. And I'm so glad that Jesus has paid the price for me and I can receive his grace. I'm going to say for some people today, I don't know why I'm saying it, but I believe it in my spirit this, that the days of Satan whipping and beating you with guilt, shame, they're ended today. God has called time. You understand in here what God is saying, you'll now no longer live as a slave to sin. Those days have come to an end. And when we have a ministry time today, we're going to pray into that. And I believe that people that are bound with all kinds of things today will be set free in Jesus' name. You and I are free. So now that was the introduction. And I've got to go really quickly. Romans chapter 6 is the great emancipation scripture. It's the great Christian emancipation proclamation. It contains the foundational truth of our freedom from Satan's intimidation and sin's power. Romans chapter 6 will help us understand and discover how to live victoriously above fear, above guilt, above shame, above defeat. And Paul asks this question in verses 1 to 2. He is talking to Christians who fail to claim their freedom and they continue to live like slaves. He says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase?" And he writes it to those Jews that believe his teaching on grace is wrong. They live under the law still. They haven't necessarily fully understood what grace is. And they mock him and they say, "Okay then, Paul, if your teaching is so right, that means then if sin brings grace, then lots of sin brings more grace. Shouldn't we sin as much as possible in order to keep grace flowing?" Some people would like to have that, wouldn't they? Yeah, we'll let grace flow. We'll sin as much as we want, whenever we want. But they'd understood grace from a twisted perspective, and we're going to look at that today. He says, "By no means we are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer?" The Apostle Paul responded to this faulty perspective with "no way." He puts two more questions before his readers. Each of them contain a colossal theological truth. How shall we who have died to sin live any longer in it? Paul highlights to the Christian community and to the Jews who hadn't fully understood grace that we as Christians no longer serve our old master. We are no longer duty bound to him. We were enslaved to sin because our old nature found it irresistible, but death to our old life has freed us from bondage to sin. Verse 3, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" Paul said that all that who put their trust in Jesus have been baptized with him. The context here is not water baptism. The context here is identity. This is something all Jewish people would understand. It uses a Greek word, baptizo, which means to immerse or to submerge. To be baptized in something or to be completely enveloped or surrounded or encircled or encased by it. So the crucial purpose of baptism was identity. And in the Old Testament, the identity of a male Jew was circumcision. When a male was circumcised, or somebody became a Jew, wanted to become a Jew, if they were a male, they had to be circumcised to identify with God. When we place our trust in Jesus Christ for salvation from sin, then what Jesus does is he completely surrounds us. Does that make sense? You remember the ready-breck glow, for those of us about my age? Where you have ready-breck and you'd walk with this glow around you. When we come to know Jesus Christ, we have the something glow, Holy Spirit glow probably. He completely envelops us. We are inside his care and his love. We identify ourselves with Jesus. Our identity becomes united with his. But also, something else happens. We experience what he experiences. Today, in heaven, we can have a touch from heaven on earth because we can experience what Jesus is experiencing right now. Does that make sense? Because of our identity with him. And that's why when we have a ministry time in a minute, it will be as though Jesus is standing right next to you and right with you. And there'll be opportunity for us to pray for you, but it won't be just us praying for you. It will be Jesus himself who surrounds you with his love. And he will set you free. When Jesus died for us, we died with him. That's our identity. When Jesus rose from the dead, we will rise with him. That's our identity. By virtue of our identification with Jesus Christ, his death, his resurrection, we have been emancipated from the bondage of sin. Our identity with Christ began with belief in him, and our identity with Jesus Christ is an ongoing process, and it will continue to happen. We haven't got time to read it today, but in your notes, it talks about Romans chapter 3 and to Romans chapter 5. It talks about our identity. Have a look at that yourself. Study it in your life groups, if you wish, over the next few weeks and months, and understand what the Apostle Paul is saying. Let's move on with Romans chapter 6, verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. This means that you and I can walk in a new way. We don't have to walk in the way we've walked before. We can walk with a new step. We know that our body is a vehicle of our old sinful nature. It's part of this fallen world and it's subject to sin. But when we gave our lives to Jesus, we died to our old self. Do you know what? Dead bodies don't respond to temptation. Do you know that? When you're dead, you don't respond to temptation. Dead bodies don't choose to do wrong. Do you know sin has no power over a corpse? Being dead to our old life and raised again to new life means that we are free from the power of sin. Our duty-bound obligation to Satan is destroyed. The first step is for us to understand this, that our old man was crucified with him. In other words, we are under new management. Would you tell the person next to you, I'm under new management? Would you remind yourself the next time that you feel under guilt, condemnation, where the devil is like whipping your back and making you feel like a slave, you say, I'm sorry, Satan. Look at the sign. Under new management. Doesn't make you feel good? Doesn't that excite you today? New management. We are now subject to God's authority rather than that of sin. We are now no longer duty bound to choose sin. Romans 6, 8. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Paul says, consider the truth. Do you know what I think sometimes? Is we don't consider the truth enough. We don't read scripture and consider it. We don't think about it. We don't meditate it. We don't consider the truth, because as we consider the truth, it sets us free. Consider the truth. Consider what is written in this word. If we have died with him, we believe we will live with him. That means we have the same kind of life he has now. We don't have to wait until we spend eternity with him in heaven. It means we can experience his resurrected power today. In our lives, we can enjoy the benefits of being a Christian on earth. It's like, as I said before, we can have our cake and eat it, and loads of it. Somebody bought me a birthday cake. It was lovely. Thank you, Alistair. I won't tell you who it was, but Alistair bought me a birthday cake. Chocolate cake. Really thick. It's absolutely. Does anybody like chocolate cake? It's gone. but it's like enjoying it now. But in heaven, you get the extra chocolate on top. Do you know? We don't have to be slaves to sin. God wants us to enjoy our life now. Consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. Verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. Having decided something is true, having considered the truth, then we must do something. The truth will change our behavior. Paul, we talked last time I spoke about our mind controlling our bodies. We have to take control of our bodies and make our bodies operate in agreement with what we have accepted to be true. Does that make sense? We command our bodies to come in alignment with the truth that we've heard. We are in control of our lives in that sense. Verse 14, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Could the musicians just come at this point? It'd be great. Romans 6, verse 14, let's read this together. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are under the law. Not under the law, but under grace. Sorry. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. As Jesus lives in us, his power lives within us. His power becomes ours. The Holy Spirit transforms us from the inside out, and he will transform us from within. He will renew our mind. And today, we are invited by the Holy Spirit to participate in that process. Having died to sin's power, we are now free to serve our new masters. Our bodies are not helpless victims of uncontrollable weakness. Those days are ended. Those days are ended. Do you believe that? We're calling time today in Oasis Christian Centre on bondage to sin, on bondage to fear. I want us to leave today no longer feeling we're slaves to anything. I want us today experience the power of God that sets us free. I don't want us to listen to our old master's voice anymore, who wants to keep us like slaves. And who knows, when we start to operate and live in freedom, he can no longer control us in any way at all. Now, old habits are hard to break. They are. We know that, don't we? But in the power of the Holy Spirit today, old habits will be broken. Do you want to be in agreement with me to that today? Do you want to come in agreement with me? If you don't, I'm still going to believe it. Because I know the God that I serve. Ben, could you just start the introduction for the first song? Just play it for me. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today, if Satan is still your master, I'm sorry it's that hard thing to say, but if Satan still is your master, in other words, Jesus isn't your master, then today you can have the opportunity to swap masters, to get rid of the bad and have the new, the good, the precious, the wonderful. To have the one that would whip your back with shame and guilt and fear, but who have the great emancipator, Jesus Christ, who'll set you free. If you don't know him today as your master, you can. So you just close your eyes in this room. I want to give, if there's anybody in this room that hasn't given Jesus their life today, to have that opportunity to do it. With nobody else looking in the room, would you lift your hand so that I can see that? Because I want you to have the opportunity to do that today. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's wonderful. That's two of you. Is there anybody else? I think there may be one more person. Thank you. I've seen those two hands. I've got the spirit there may be somebody else that needs to respond to this today. Okay, we'll move on. For you, whom the Son sets free, is free indeed. As you've responded today and as you've raised your hands, he now becomes your master. And Satan trembles and fears. And he goes, no way, I've lost them. For the rest of us, church, I'm going to ask you to respond now. I'm not ashamed to ask what I'm going to do. And I'm not going to embarrass you either. But if you're struggling in your life with things of the past, of sin, of fear, where the old master keeps coming, talking in your ear, and you're listening to him, and you're going, yeah, that's right, I'm rubbish, I'm useless, I'm still bound to these things, I'll never change, I can't change the way I am. Then that's coming to an end for you today in Jesus' name. Because in the name of Jesus, I'm taking authority over that. Satan, you have no right in this place. You have no rights in this life. I'm not afraid to tell you that. Because now, as people respond, the power of the Holy Spirit is going to envelope these precious people, you, in this room. And he's going to break those things once and for all. Gone. The worship team are going to sing this worship song. And then I want you to respond today. I want you to come forward. I want you to stand. And we're going to pray over you today. This is not to embarrass you. This is to set you free. If you want it, it's your choice. So I'm going to ask you now to stand. Everyone to stand if you can. And if God is speaking to you through his Holy Spirit now, respond. Start to come forward now and start to just stand at the front. And we're just going to pray for you in Jesus' name. Not going to embarrass you at all. Not going to embarrass you. This is for you today. If you responded by putting your hand up to follow Jesus, then you come as well. This is your time now. This is the great emancipation over your life. Come, could you come a bit close in case anybody else wants to come forward? Come as close as you can, that's fine. In case other people. I think you still can come. If you're visiting today and you think, is that for me? Yeah, you can come too. Church, would you just start to worship now as I pray? Ladies and gentlemen, children of the kingdom of God, lift your hands to him. Lift your hands in his presence. Just as a child would reach out to a father, just come. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. You have broken chains about me, Lord. You've set this captive free. You've set this captive free. We bless you, Jesus. And so, Lord, today we come in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and we break that mindset in Jesus' name. We break in the name of Jesus Christ any rights that Satan has or that we think has over our life. We break them in the name of Jesus. And we cut you free from the things of the past. And from this day forward that you will walk in a new step, we prophesy over your life. We proclaim freedom and liberty in Jesus' name. That we will walk no longer slaves, but we will walk with our heads held high, knowing that Jesus is our master. He's the grace giver. His grace trumps any of our sins. Lord, I pray a time of being sin-free over people's lives, that they will walk in a newness in Jesus' name. Lord, you will come and get your bolt cutters and cut those chains which seem impossible to break. That right now, Lord, you're moving amongst your people and breaking chains. But not only are you breaking them, Lord, you are taking them and throwing them into the pit of hell. They can't be picked up again. You can't be bound again with those chains as he sets you free. Friends, whom the Son sets free today is free indeed. Consider this. Listen. This is the word of God. Let it control your thinking and your hearts and your behavior and who you are. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You are free. You are no longer slaves.